Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 10 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2018, we're $77,000 short of projected expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
There is a dogmatic connection in Washington and among media analysts all over to the idea that Islam is a religion of peace.
What's not acceptable to the professional evolutionist is a God who actually physically does things, a God who intervenes in the natural world.
This is a total arbitrary decision to create a God in your own image that happens to be a mystical idea, but not a lot of comfort when you get news in the hospital that you have a week to live.
Why we're so insistent on the Bible is because this is where God speaks. This is the objective thing so that we know who He is. This is how He reveals Himself to us.
New dads like this from the issue of prayer.
Some of our guests here on Issues Etc. have noted when we've been talking about those first chapters of the Gospel of Luke, the chapters that tell the story of Jesus' birth foretold and John the Baptist's birth foretold, and then the birth of both this prophet and of the Messiah, that it's kind of like a musical. People are just spontaneously breaking into song, or what sounds like songs to our ears today. We've even brought them forward, and the first one of those is called the Magnificat. It is sung or spoken by none other than the mother of our Lord, the Virgin Mary, who is with child, and that child is Jesus himself. And it is sung after Mary has gone to the hill country of Judea to greet her relative there, Elizabeth, who is John the Baptist's mother. And it's a meeting not only of these two women, one young and pregnant, even though she is a virgin, the other old and pregnant, even though she is beyond childbearing years. It's also a meeting of both Jesus and John the Baptist in the womb. And it occasions this beautiful song we call the Magnificat. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker right there in Luke chapter 1, Mary visiting Elizabeth. A little bit later, Dr. David Prentice of the Charlotte Lozier Institute joins us. There's a story in the Washington Post that is titled, Trump Administration Halts Study That Would Use Fetal Tissue to Discover a Cure for HIV. The Health and Human Services has decided that fetal tissue is not going to be used in that research. We'll find out whether it constitutes, as someone in the Post story says, scientific censorship at its worst, or what it means. Dr. David Prentice will be our guest. Then Pastor Will Wheaton joins us. We're going to be studying the great Advent hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, that has its own interesting history and is chock full of the titles of Christ. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Tom Baker. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
This is a text that is full of things. We could go for hours on this, really, but there's so much here between the meeting of Mary and Elizabeth and of the two infants in their wombs, and then of Mary's song, the Magnificat, which we'll talk about at some length. But what is the most important thing for the Sunday school children to take away from this story?
The most important thing that ought to be taken away from any passage in the Bible is Jesus. So, what is there about Jesus that we can relate to the children? And I believe the greatest thing that we can keep telling them is God favors Mary by filling her womb with Jesus. God favors the Sunday school children by filling them with the Holy Spirit at baptism. And for adults, God favors us filling us with his body and blood of Jesus, who died so that we will never die eternally. In other words, one can look to Mary as a kind of a pattern for the Christian life, that as Mary is a virgin, the church, which these children are part of, is also the virgin bride of Christ. And just as Mary receives and bears the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, so also the Christian comes to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, as Mary responded in faithful obedience and trusting the promise, so also we in the church do. But everything is focused on Jesus. It is impossible to talk about this true event and not talk about Jesus. And when we get to the Magnificat, we'll see even more along those lines.
So it starts with, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country to a town of Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. They are related to one another. We've learned that already so far. Talk about the meeting of these two women.
Yes. In verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, you wonder, what's the sixth month talking about? Well, Scripture interprets Scripture. You just go back a couple of verses, and this is where the angel Gabriel had told Zechariah that his wife is going to have a child, even though she's old in age. And so the sixth month refers to the pregnancy of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth and Mary are related. So when it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. In other words, Elizabeth is related to her. And as she does so, something amazing happens. When Elizabeth, remember, she is pregnant with John the Baptizer in 6 months. When she heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed, and here again we have another hymn. We had one by many people in the Old Testament. We'll talk about Hannah's in a little bit. But here, Elizabeth, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. There we got Jesus right away. And she even knows who Jesus is. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So talk about the faith that Elizabeth had. How she recognized this is pretty clear. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember, the entire Bible is written by prophets and apostles who, filled with the Holy Spirit, were able to say things that they had been unaware of. And she continues saying, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. She doesn't say that she was jumping up and down, but the baby in her womb was leaping for joy. And how is that even possible? I mean, the baby here isn't even born. John the Baptizer is still a fetus. But it is clear that Gabriel had told Zechariah the following, and this is in chapter 1, verse 14. You will have joy and gladness, Gabriel talking to Zechariah, and many will rejoice at his birth, John the Baptist's birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. So this idea that a baby cannot have faith in holy baptism, which some people argue again, is ridiculous, when already John the Baptizer, even in the womb, had faith that Jesus had walked into the room in the womb of Mary. Now, if Mary went with haste, we figure we celebrate Mary's visit to Elizabeth on May the 11th. It's really just a short time after Gabriel came to Mary and told her she was going to become pregnant, which we celebrate March the 25th. So when that occurs, what we're saying is that Jesus would be about the size of a pinhead in the womb of Mary. And yet, through faith, John the Baptizer leaped for joy because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And therefore, this is the first part of Mary's visit with Elizabeth, with the preponderance of evidence that she is the mother of my Lord, and blessed is the fruit of her womb, who is none other than Jesus Christ.
She also says there, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. What is Elizabeth talking about?
She's talking about that, unlike Zechariah, when he was told, he doubted that John the Baptizer could be born. And therefore, the angel said to him that he would be mute until John the Baptizer was born, because he did not believe my words, which come from God. That's chapter 1, verse 20. Mary believed the words. She asked, how can it come about since I know not a man? And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And guess what? She believed it. And so I consider verse 45, blessed is she, this is Elizabeth talking, blessed is Mary, who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Because Gabriel makes very clear that he's speaking on behalf of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Mary visiting Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. On the other side of the break, we're going to take up Mary's song called the Magnificat. Remarkable understanding of this young woman of what God is doing. Stay tuned.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Jesus is the reason for the season. How often do we hear that this time of year? But what if just for a moment we shifted our focus away from the holly jolly holiday season and simply said, Jesus is the reason, period. Join John Kleinig, Heidi Sias, and others as they explore the great and wondrous mystery of Christ's incarnation in the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Sanctifying your child rearing with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Several Issues Etc. regular guests are candidates for leadership positions in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Every LCMS congregation has received nomination forms for the president and vice presidents of the Synod. Please encourage your pastor and congregational leaders to fill out and return these nomination forms before February 20th of 2019. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. issuesetc.org/nominations. Magnificat, sung by the Cantorai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're turning to the subject of the Magnificat with Pastor Tom Baker as we teach a Sunday school lesson on Mary's visit to Elizabeth. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December carries this story through to the birth of Jesus and to the visit of the wise men. It's a children's book for kids aged 3 through 5. Called The Night Before Christmas. It is beautifully illustrated. These are the kind of images that will stay in the minds and hearts of your children, your grandchildren, your godchildren, their entire life. Find out more about The Night Before Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Tom, let's turn to Mary's song here in the Magnificat. It at the very least demonstrates a remarkable understanding that she had of what God was doing in and through her.
Yes, in fact, one of the things I would encourage the Sunday school teachers to do is do a parallel between Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 to 10, and Mary's The Magnificat in Luke 1, 46 to 55. The reason is they are extremely similar. And the main item is what we would refer to as the great reversals. Now, what do we mean by the great reversals? Well, we've already had some. A virgin becomes pregnant. God becomes man. Jesus, our shepherd, becomes the lamb. Jesus, our host, becomes our sacred meal. And then from the Magnificat, and this is also found in Hannah's song, we hear these reversals. The proud will be scattered in their self-made wisdom, and the might of the Lord will be brought down, but the lowly will be exalted. He will satisfy the hungry, but he sends the satisfied rich away empty of mercy. He helps his people not by worldly might, but by mercy. These are called kind of reversals from the way that the world does that. And those reversals are found very clearly in both Hannah's song and the Magnificat. In Hannah, 1 Samuel 2, those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. Now, those are Hannah's reversals. Mary's reversals are very clearly the same. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And then Mary says in verse 55, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And that's, of course, a reminder of the gospel promises of the new covenant, that through Abraham would come a Messiah, a promise already given to Adam and Eve, that the seed of Eve would crush the head of the serpent. And the word seed there is in the singular, whereas the seed of the serpent is in the plural, which means that the seed of Eve is a person, the same one that Abraham talks about, the same one that is prophesied to David and to Solomon and to Isaiah and to Jeremiah and to the prophets of the Old Testament. So what we're finding in this event is God's fulfillment of the promises that he made, not just to Mary, but that he made throughout the Old Testament to all of the prophets and believers.
What does she mean when she say, for behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me?
Yes, I believe this is an important point to make, a good question, because in Roman Catholic theology, she's blessed because she is sinless, and she, therefore, because of her sinlessness, was chosen to be the mother of God. But I think we need to look more carefully at when the angel refers to her as being favored. He does not say, God chose you because you are his favorite one. No, God chose Mary, and his choice was that she would be favored in the same way that we are favored. In fact, that's something that is found even in the Old Testament. When we're talking about, for example, Noah, God looks over the entire world, and boy, oh boy, it's not a pretty picture. But Genesis 6, verse 8 says, in the ESV, in the NIV, and in the New American Standard, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And that reminds the children that Sunday school teachers should bring up of Ephesians 1, 4 to 6. Because here he's talking about the Sunday school children and all Christians. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? The good pleasure of his will. Not the good works that we had done, a clear law and gospel distinction that when God finds favor in Noah, in Mary, in us, and many others in the Bible, that's according to the good pleasure of his will. It's not because these people are really special or that Mary is sinless, etc., which really is quite ridiculous to say that. Because even in the Magnificat, she makes a very clear, my soul magnifies the Lord. And listen to verse 47. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So she believes that Jesus is her Savior. And therefore, she also includes herself as a sinner. Because in verse 48, he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And the word humble estate doesn't mean that she was so humble that God said, boy, she's the one I need to pick. But the humble estate refers that she had nothing to offer God at all to offset her sins. But God chose her out of his free will and favored her, not because she was his favorite, but because of his goodwill.
So with that said, Tom, with about a minute here, what is the simple law and gospel for the Sunday school children in the story of Mary's visit to Elizabeth?
The simple law is you don't have to be worried about God favoring you because you're a good person. It may be that Santa Claus will bring you coal if you're not good, according to that song, but that's not reality. When the true God looks at you, you, as a Sunday school child, have been favored by Him in the waters of baptism because your sins have now been cleansed. You will pay no punishment for them eternally, and you will live in the church forever, not just here on earth, but after you die in the heavenly kingdom forever and ever.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Find a link to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks.
And thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk about a Washington Post story on the Department of Health and Human Services shutting down a study using fetal tissue. Dr. David Prentice of the Charlotte Lozier Institute will be our guest. "'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from The Night Before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The Night Before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus."
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
"For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards. emmanuelpress.us.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You can't fight against the anti-culture unless you proclaim a culture in its place.
Dr. Anthony Esselin speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
You can and you will defeat the false with the true, but then you have to be in the army of the true. The cure for bad art is good art, or even real art. Cure for the bad story is good story. The cure for all of man's ills, as we Christians know, is the story, not only the greatest story, but in the end, the only story, comprehending all genuine attempts by man to understand himself and to come before the God who made him. That's perhaps why all the massive engines I've mentioned hate Christianity worst of all.
You can listen to Dr. Esselin's presentation, Making the Case for Western Civilization, and all of the presentations from our 2018 conferences on an audio DVD or thumb drive. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Place your order at issuesetc.org.